Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I understand that this morning you preached on faith. And boy, do you understand it's by faith that we get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If anybody here is heaven bound, it's because you put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And then he died and was rose from the grave again. How many of you are thankful we have a risen Savior, a risen Savior? If that doesn't excite you, think about it for a minute. But God says there's something more important than faith. Now, I have an amazingly hard time putting my mind around this. It's how we get saved. It's how he's chosen to give us eternal life, faith. And he says, without faith, you cannot please me. But if you're saved, if you're heaven bound, God says there's something more important than faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14 describe what it is. Let's start with the first end verse, 13:13. Chapter 13, verse 13. Now by the faith, there's that key ingredient, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is not faith. He says the greatest of these is charity, exceeding the value of faith. Now the word charity here is the word agape. It's the word for the love of God. It's the word for the love that only God can produce. We live in a world that loves the term love. They love to say, oh, I love you. They use it for marketing. Come to us. We love you. I walk in a motel and they say, we love you. We love you. They don't love me. They love my credit card. They're just trying to act like they're friendly to get you to come. God says this is so critical, it exceeds the value of faith. Now, it should be a very noble goal, and you absolutely want to do it, and that is to be a man or woman of faith. But God says, I've got something even more important. It's my love, agape love. A love you can't produce, that only I can produce through you. Now, he says, if you don't have this love, I want to give you a warning. And go back to verse 1 in chapter 13. And I want you to get ready to mark in your Bible three warnings that God gives. And these are incredibly serious warnings if you're a child of God. He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, agape, this love, I am become a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. I have that verse underlined in my Bible. This is a critical problem in America right now. God says, if you do not have this love, all you are is an irritating noise. A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal was the sound that merchants in the marketplace make. They still do it. If you go to Jerusalem and go into the old city, they stand outside their places of business and they screech and they howl and they make the most incredible sounds. It's like fingernails on a blackboard. It's ear, and what they're doing is trying to get your attention to pull you in. Now, we don't do it that way. We use blinking lights and neon. But this irritating noise is what God says you are. It's what God says I am if I don't have this love. Whoa. Now, it's not the world that said that. It's not your wonderful pastor that said that. It's not me that said it. It's God that said it. Last week, I wonder if you were just an irritating noise in this community. God says, if you don't have this love, then that's all you are. Have you ever been in a car? It happened to my wife and I. And another car pulls up next to you, and they've got the speakers just all amped up. And the noise, our windows are closed, their windows are closed, but the noise is coming across so sound that it's coming across the pavement up into our car, and you can feel the vibrations from it. And you say, what an irritating noise. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Well, God says, that's us. He said, if you don't have this love, I don't care what else you do, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I've had a lot of unsaved people in courtrooms and in legislatures come up to me and say, your people are just so irritating. I hope we're irritating because we're giving the gospel. But I hope we're not irritating because we lack this love. Because God says, without this love, you're that sounding brass. Look at the second thing he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and get ready to underline this next one, and though I have all faith. Can you imagine that? I have all faith. Though I have the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not this love, say out loud the next three words. I am nothing. Whew. That should cause alarm. I wonder how many days I've been nothing but a nothing. If the Lord was here in a form we could see to walk the aisles, and we said, show us the nothings. What would happen when he'd come to your row? What would happen when he'd come to mine? Wow. Now, no one in their right mind here wants to live their life in God's sight as a nothing. And yet God says this exceeds the value of faith. So much so that if you had all faith and didn't have this, you're still a nothing. Look at the third thing he says. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, not some, all. I give everything. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, agape, it profiteth me nothing. What a thought. I wonder how much giving you've done. I wonder how much giving I've done that didn't count because it wasn't done with love. God says, you want it to count, you got to have this love in it. When I ask you, do you have the love of God resonating in you? Now remember in Galatians 5, where he gives the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is this love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. But it's this agape love that only God can produce. Now, he goes on and gives us some checkpoints to make sure that we don't deceive ourselves. He says, here, I want to give you some checkpoints you can look at to be sure you have this love. Because, boy, nobody can fool David Gibbs like David Gibbs. Well, I probably have it and just don't know it. No, I think you'll find from this checklist, you'll know it. Let's take a look at what it says. Start at verse 4. Agape, this charity, suffereth long. Stop right there. That means you can't wear it out. There's nothing you can do to make this love go away. Nothing. That's it. I've had it. I'm sick and tired of this. I've already put up with way too much already. Who in the world do you think you are? Nobody should have to put up with what I've put up with. This love never says that. Never. It suffereth long. You can't wear it out. Mom, what does it take to wear out your love? This love can't wear out. Well, I'm not putting up with you kids anymore. This is... No. You want to know if you have agape love? Nothing can make it go away. Absolutely nothing. A young missionary couple surrendered their lives to go reach the Aka Indians in Ecuador. Jim and Elizabeth Elliott, they went down there and met up with a mission team to go into the jungle. And a young man joined with them by the name of Nate Saint. They had a small airplane and they were trying to go up in the jungle to reach the headhunters and the people that kill you just for coming around. And the headhunters finally showed themselves and they feigned friendship. And they got them to land on a little sandbar, their little plane. And the minute they land, they came and they killed them. Well, they didn't kill them quickly. They roasted them over a fire for about 10 days, making them wish they were dead, making them wish. Word got back to Elizabeth that her husband had been killed. She's pregnant with their first child. And the mission team said to Elizabeth, what do you want to do? Do you want to go home? Do you want to go to another mission field? What do you want to do? She said, no, I want to reach the people who killed my husband. They said, Elizabeth, they're terrible people. She said, I know, but I love them. You what? Nothing can wear this love out. Nothing. She said, I know they're terrible. We knew that before we came. We're not naive. We know how dangerous this was. But God loves them and we love them. By the way, how many of you are thankful nothing wears out the love of God for you? Do you understand what a fix we'd be in if God's love could be worn out? That's why Jesus said to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. She said, I want to go up into the forest and get them. They got ready. They said, well, let us get the military to go. And she said, no, you send the military, they'll just flee. We'll never find them. She said, I just need to go face them. Here she is carrying their first child, and in she goes. When she found the people who killed her husband, they couldn't believe it. They said, where do you get the strength to come stand in front of us? Do you not understand what we did to your husband? Do you not understand how powerful and fierce we are? Do you not understand how vicious we are? Where do you get the strength to stand in front of us? Elizabeth Elliott said, I want you to know my God loves you and I love you. The chief went crazy. He said, for 10 days while we tortured your husband, that's all he kept saying, that he loved us. We couldn't make him stop saying it. This love never wears out. Have you got it? Have I got it? Elizabeth Elliott led them to the Lord. I had the privilege to preach on the same platform and speak with her. And one time, that chief who had killed her husband was there. And I said, why? He said, because that's how we were. But we didn't understand this love and what this love can do. God says, you want to see what God can do. It starts with his love. The first thing we teach a child in Sunday school is John 3:16. For God so, what's the next word? Love the world. And the word is agape. For God so agape'd the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do I have this love? Do you have this love? Now let me caution you. You'll never get it by accident. That's why it's a command. You won't go to bed one night and wake up in the morning and say, must have happened in the night, I got it. No. This is a decision. You don't get this just the minute that you're saved. This is walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You see, an unsaved person sitting here tonight hears this and said, this is craziness. What are you talking about? A love that nothing can wear out. You see, the world's got this all pegged down. The world says, you treat me nice, I'll treat you nice. But you treat me like dirt, you better duck. God says, no. No. And by the way, on the political scene right now, everybody's punching back at each other. God says, I forbid. I want you to love. Look at the next thing he says. Charity suffereth long. Here's the second, and is kind. Now, I'm almost done. You can't hide kind. You just can't hide it. Would anybody following you last week say, I'm telling you, that is one kind man. That is one kind woman. If you followed me, would you say, he's kind? Whoa. This love is always kind, and you can't wear it out. A man wrote a very nasty article about us. This is a number of years ago, Pastor. And it was all lies. It was all lies. He never talked to us. He just wrote this thing and sent it out, and all my friends are calling me saying, is it true, is it? I said, no, of course it's not true. But I got ticked off. How many of you all have ever gotten ticked off, right? I got ticked off. So I thought, you want to play word games? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to sue you once a day, every day, for 30 straight days. I'm going to put 30 lawsuits down your pipes. I'm going to make you wish you'd never been born. And I felt wonderful. He started it. I'm finishing it. How many of y'all ever had that feeling, right? I'm just telling you, I'm getting even. The letter came out on a Friday. I left on Saturday to go and preach in a Bible conference. I came back on Monday. I got all the lawyers coming in at 1 o'clock Monday. I said, man, if you can think of other things we can do to make this guy squeal uncle, I want to hear it. I came into my office. My secretary, Mrs. Block, was there on Monday morning. And she said, oh, I saw the letter. It's terrible. I said, yeah, I know. She said, well, that's all lies. That's lies. She said, I've been here 20 years. That's lies. None of that's true. I said, I know. She said, well, I know what you're going to do. I said, yeah, surely I'm going to sue him once a day, every day for 20, 30 straight days. I'm going to just make his life miserable. She said, no. You're going to love him and bless him and do good to him. Aren't you? And I said, yeah. Don't you look at me like that. Right after I get even, I'm going to do it. She then quoted me scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And I want you to look at the verses that my secretary quoted unto me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. These verses should be marked in your Bible. Verse 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. There you go. That's the world's gold standard right there. You be good to me, I'll be good to you. But you treat me like dirt, you better duck. But I say unto you, Say out loud the next three words. Love your enemies. And it's the word agape. Do you understand? The Savior you serve commands you to love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. She quotes that to me. Now, while she's quoting it, I tell me what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, Lord, right now I do not need a Christian secretary. I just don't. And I really don't need one that's memorized scripture. She said, Brother Gibbs, if you do to him what you're saying, you're worse than him. I said, surely that's the whole idea. She said, Brother Gibbs, you would break God's heart to do that. You got to love him. Promise me you're not going to get even. Promise me. It's forbidden. Do you understand? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You're forbidden to get even. And you're commanded to love. Whoa. She said, promise me you won't sue. I said, okay, Shirley, I won't sue him. She said, well, I knew you'd want to do what was right and you'd want to tell him you love him. So when you pulled up, I saw your car pull in. I dialed him on the phone. And he's on the phone on line 5, so you can tell him you love him. I said, you did what now? And I look down, line 5's just a blinking away. Man, I thought, I'm not ready for this. By the way, you will never be ready to do right. Never. It's a decision. You're commanded by the Savior you serve. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. She picked up the phone. And she covered it up. Now, Shirley was from West Virginia, but she had Italian in her background. And when she wanted you to do something, she'd go like this. She'd say, tell him you love him. I looked at her and I said, leave me alone. See, maybe all of this is easy for you. Well, I'm going to tell you what I found. You go nationwide, we do not find much of the love of God. Oh, we may not be as hateful as some people, but having less hate is not the standard. Loving is the standard. We're commanded to love our enemies. That's the command. She hands me the phone. I said, hello. That's all I said, hello. This so-called Christian leader cussed me out. Cussed me out over the phone. I held the phone. I said, you hear that, Shirley? Let's go back once a day, every day, 30 straight days. Let's sue the fire out of him. She said, tell him you love him. I said, I just called to tell you I love you. He said, you don't mean that. And I thought, boy, are you dead right. And then God took over. I said, I want to tell you something. You're a bad man. You've done a lot of harm. But I'm worse than you. I was going to destroy you. That's where my heart was. But I ran into a Christian secretary this morning. And like David with Abigail, she changed everything. And I said, I want to tell you, I want to love. Do you want to obey? Not do you feel like it. You'll never feel like it. Do you want to obey? You'll never do this by accident. This is a decision. Wow. I said, if there's something I can do to bless you, you tell me. If it's in my power, I'll do it. You can't wear this love out. And this love is always kind. Always. How many of you know the name Lester Roloff? Hold your hand up, would you? I did 14 trials for that man in his ministry. We're in the middle of one trial, and we got a guy, a lawyer on the other side, who was as vile. Every time he'd get by the preacher, he'd cuss and say the most despicable, contemptible, vulgar things. And this lawyer and I got into it. Man, I mean, we're having face-to-faces virtually 3-4 times a day in the courtroom. I do not like him. We went in the courtroom early one morning, Pastor Roloff and I, to get him ready for the day. And no one was in the courtroom except this lawyer who hates us. And when we walked in, Brother Roloff did something that changed my life. He walked up to this lawyer who hates him, who's trying to put him in prison, who's trying to take everything he has away, and he walked up to him and he said, "I want you to know I love you. And my God loves you." He said, "I want you to get saved. You're a brilliant lawyer. You could be another Paul. You could be a great blessing to God's people. But I want you to know I love you, and could I hug you?" That lawyer said, "What do you mean you love me? Nobody loves me." He said, "I love you, and my God loves you." And he reached over and hugged him. Now, I'm standing over here about 10 feet away watching all of this. And I'm thinking, I don't love him. I don't even like him. This is a terrible man. And he is a terrible man. By the way, nobody deserves to be loved. God doesn't love you because you deserve it. We walked back out in the hall, and Brother Roloff turned to me and he said, "David, you're going nowhere with God until you can love your enemies." He said, "I saw your face. I saw what was in your eyes. And David, God commands you to love your enemies." Whoa. You can't wear this love out. You say, "But you don't know my boss. You don't know my mother-in-law. You don't know." You're right, I don't. But God says, "You got an enemy? Here's my command. Love them. Love them." Turn to chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. I want to repeat verse 13, chapter 13 again. "Now by the faith, hope, charity, agape, these three, but the greatest of these is agape, charity." But look at then what he says in the first line of chapter 14, verse 1. "Follow after charity." The word "follow" there was the word for a passionate pursuit. Let me rephrase. Priority one. God says, "I want you with everything you have to pursue this love. Follow. Get after this. Charity. The love that only God can produce through you." Brother Davis, I've had wonderful people come up to me who are saved, but they say, I don't honestly know that I've ever had that love. Oh, it'll never be there by accident. It's a decision. You've got to be willing to obey, not because you feel like it. When I talked to Elizabeth Elliott, she said, "I knew I loved him. But," she said, "it just hurt me so bad that they would kill my husband. take my baby's father. And she said, I had such a hard time getting over that. And I kept reminding myself, I love them. I love them. Somebody can hurt you over something you may never be able to forget. But God says, I'm commanding you to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that spitefully use you. And this love never wears out, and it's always kind. America right now is in a lot of trouble. The hope of America is not in Washington, D.C. How many of y'all have figured that out? People say to me, what can I do for America? Well, get the hope in the right place. The hope in America is the gospel in the local church. That's the hope of America. You want to do something for America, come to your preacher and say, give me something to do. Yeah, but if I go to pastor and say, give me something to do, he'll give me something to do. That's why you need to ask. And start loving our enemies. Start loving. Follow after charity. An absolute command. Priority one. Now the choice is yours. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you for these precious folks tonight. What an honor and a privilege to be here. Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart tonight. God helping me, I want to leave here different than I came. My heart's been touched. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. I want that love. Hold your hand up. I want that love. You have your hand up. I want you to get up out of your seat and make your way to this altar. It's time to pray and ask. No one does what's right when they leave if you don't do what's right when God speaks. The love of God, how rich and pure. Father, I bow with these hearts. Forgive me where my love life has at times been so wanting, so negligent, so unkept. You put us here to show this world your love, not just your message, your love. And you said it's so important, it exceeds the value of faith. And God, while I cannot understand that, I accept that. This is a priority heaven sent. Hear the cry of our heart in Jesus' name, I pray. May we leave here saying, by the grace of God, I'm going to follow after charity. Hear our cry in Jesus' name, I pray. Let's all stand together.